Well, as promised, we bring to these microphones David Dornan, longtime journalist in the Middle East, headquartered in the city of Jerusalem, Israel, on top of what's happening in that part of the world. But we're going to take a look at what's been going on in Geneva. We're going to talk about what's happening there because the P5 plus one, that would be the five permanent members of the United Nations Security Council, plus Germany, have been discussing with the Iranian negotiator, the nuclear negotiator for the Iranian government, as to what is going to take place. Will they loosen up on the sanctions? Will the activities there in the enrichment of the uranium slow down some? We're going to talk with David about that and find out what the perspective from Israel might be and the concerns might be as well. David, this agreement that is coming together, it seemingly looks like, between the Iranians and the world leaders that are meeting, that would be basically the United States, the European Union, and in addition to that, Germany and China. But we are very much concerned as we watch what the Prime Minister of Israel has been saying. In fact, last Friday morning before John Kerry, Secretary of State, went into Geneva, he had a sit-down face-to-face at breakfast time with Prime Minister Netanyahu. And I kind of understand that the Netanyahu team got into his face about what the possibilities were there in Geneva. What's the latest on it?
Well, the Israeli press, Jimmy, is saying that Prime Minister Netanyahu obviously knew the details of what this agreement was entailed. In other words, John Kerry shared those details with him, at least to the point where the Prime Minister could come out with what the New York Times, Jimmy, called a blistering statement after Kerry left Israel on Thursday and went to Geneva. The Prime Minister issued a statement that it really was blistering. He called it a bad deal. In other words, I know what's in the deal, and it's a bad deal. And he said Iran is, I'm quoting here, it's not required to take apart even one centrifuge. Now, that's an important statement, Jimmy, because that's the core here for Israel. If they still have their centrifuges sitting there, even if they promise to stop it, who's going to know? Those have to be dismantled at the very least, is what he's saying. And he said this many, many times, and he apparently is telling us indirectly that this agreement did not include elimination of any of these uranium enrichment centrifuges. And for anyone who's not a nuclear expert, I'll just say quickly, that's what spins the uranium into a highly enriched uranium that is weapons-grade material, nuclear weapons-grade material. So he went on to say the international community is relieving sanctions on Iran for the first time after many years. In other words, this is a big step, guys. You're doing something that's really big by relieving sanctions, or talking about relieving sanctions, in exchange for what he's saying. You know, they're not going to even dismantle their centrifuges. And then, of course, he said, Jimmy, beyond that, that once again, Israel will take care of its own security needs. And he said, we do not approve of this plan. In other words, we're going to carry out our military operation if we have to, if you guys in the international community, through diplomacy, do not get these uranium enrichment facilities destroyed.
Well, is that actually the bottom line for the Israelis? They want all the operations, these nuclear developments of weapons of mass destruction operations, they want them totally destroyed. Is that the bottom line for Israel?
That is the bottom line for Israel. You know, if they thought that international inspectors would be given free and full access to all of these facilities, let's say they would be going in every 3 months and making sure that none of them were operating, and they seal them somehow, which the UN has actually done that in other cases in other countries where they went in and sealed shut facilities, then the Israelis would agree to that if Iran had not been, and this is what Netanyahu has said many times, if Iran had not been cheating up until now, because the UN itself has said that they've hidden things from them, that they haven't allowed them to inspect core, especially the underground bunker that they have near their holy city of Qom's. They've not allowed the UN to go down there and look at what's in there. So Netanyahu is saying, why would we accept their promise now to allow something like that. We want to see those destroyed. And that's why he's saying they have to be removed from the country under international supervision, and only then will Israel consider the issue over.
David, with the presidency now in the hands of Rouhani there in Iran, but still under the leadership of the Supreme Council, the Ayatollahs, Rouhani was the architect of this plan of attack. As far as the Iranians were concerned, they go out, they negotiate a little bit, they get a delay, and then they enhance their preparation to have a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. So what's different now?
Well, Jimmy, that's precisely the point that Prime Minister Netanyahu was making. What's different now? This man wrote a book in which he said, we must launch a charm offensive. We must take off our guns, as it were, and look more peaceable and look more respectable and speak more softly. And at the same time, according to the book, we can continue with our nuclear program and get what we want. In which case he was endorsing the nuclear program in this book. So Netanyahu is saying, look, he's following his own clearly spelled out game plan here. Can't the world see that? And really, I'm hearing, Jimmy, from some sources in Jerusalem that he is feeling more and more like this, that Neville Chamberlain is sitting in the White House and that Israel is about to be sold out alone again, as it were, because the United States will go along with this world agreement, and it won't really change Iran's goals of avowed goals of destroying Israel. They repeat it often. So they're just likely to launch a military operation, frankly, certainly if they feel very, very isolated, and I think that's what Mr. Netanyahu has been saying.
You think that's close?
I think it could be very close, Jimmy, and I've heard that from others, too, and that's not only because of this diplomatic process and what Israel sees as a very flawed agreement, but also because we have this report from Washington a couple weeks ago. They can assemble a bomb within about a month to 6 weeks once they decide to do it. That's all the time it would take Iran, is what this nuclear institute said, not an Israeli institute. It's not Jews that run it. They said this independently. They're former inspectors. So, yes, I think something could be imminent over in that area.
Let's change the focus to Kerry's visit to Israel. He came in because the peace talks seemed to be faltering. He met with the Palestinian leadership. He met with Prime Minister Netanyahu. Did they accomplish anything with Kerry's visit to Israel as it relates to the peace process?
No evidence that they did, and in fact, one of the greatest evidences that they didn't was the statement Kerry made as he was leaving, which really, I'm told, angered the Prime Minister. So this is two things that John Kerry's doing that has the Israeli leadership in a tither, frankly, and that was, he said, another Palestinian uprising could be imminent if this peace process does not succeed. Well, that's one of the reasons Netanyahu didn't want this peace process to start, because it was bound to not succeed right now. And you and I have discussed this many times with these other huge issues facing Israel. This isn't a high priority. It's too difficult to decide Jerusalem. It's too emotive. They're in the midst of the Arab world's upheaval, on and on and on. So Kerry has lit that spark anyway. And if there is an uprising, you will see great anger in Israel at the United States administration. I'm just being honest here, because they feel like they're being sold several things here that are to their detriment very, very much. And the Palestinians, Hamas, is saying we're ready to spring a new uprising at any time. So God forbid that will happen, but it's a terrible thing. I've lived through two of them, and it's sheer terror. That's what it's meant to be. And let's hope and pray it doesn't happen, but let's hope the U.S. doesn't act as a spark if it does occur.
Give me 15 seconds only, David. I've heard some report that the United States will force a peace agreement after the first of the year if Israel and the Palestinians don't get it on.
Well, this could well happen, and that's beginning to sound fairly biblical, isn't it? So we'll see. We'll see.
Sound very biblical. Seems like the last couple of weeks you always have an outstanding statement to take us out of our conversation. David Dolan, longtime journalist, over 30 years in the Middle East. He has a mind that helps you as he explains some of these events unfolding, understand how they indeed can fit into that prophetic scenario found in God's Word. David, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.